for NAIDOC Week, this is Evenings with Nakia Louie.
I wonder what comes to mind when you think of the 1951 literary classic Catcher in the Rye. What about the opening lines? If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like and how my parents were occupied and all before they had me and all that David Copperfield kind of crap, but I don't feel like going into it if you want to know the truth. It's been 64 years since the famous work from J.D. Salinger was released into the world, but how much do we really know of its author? Emma Michelle is a Melbourne writer who has pored over her work and the life of J.D. Salinger for countless hours, most recently in her honours thesis while studying at the ANU. She's writing a piece in The Conversation today and joins me now to discuss 64 years of Catcher in the Rye, the legacy of one of the literary greats and the five unpublished works that we could see on the bookshelves in the next coming years. Good evening, Emma.
What an introduction.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure those words were very familiar.
Yes.
Okay, so you've been studying J.D. Salinger for many years now.
I have, yes. He's a favourite author of mine.
Brilliant. And how long has it been?
Since I studied him or since I read him. I read him about 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the very beginning.
Sure.
Where did your personal fascination with J.D. Salinger start?
I think like most people, I was given The Catcher in the Rye to study in high school. This is a book that still to this day sells 250,000 copies a year, and I think that's largely due to the fact that it's being put in the high school syllabus for young people to read. When I first read this book, it was the first book that got me interested in writing simply because the way that Salinger writes about everyday things and allows them to convey much bigger ideas. So on paper, The Catcher in the Rye is basically about a 17-year-old who gets kicked out of school for the second or the third time, and instead of going home and owning up to it with his parents, he decides to go to New York for a few days and just wander around. And that's basically what the book's about. There's no kind of great romance or kind of crime or sci-fi fantasy kind of themes like that. But the way that Salinger really imbues the story with these bigger ideas, I think, is really special, and that's why it's still continues to speak to people reading it to this day.
And so you think maybe the way he approaches big ideas is why it's resonated so strongly with people. What about the way that he presents those big ideas?
I think when we're looking at The Catcher in the Rye, we look at it as a book for young people written in the voice of a young person. So the main character, Holden Caulfield, he's 17 years old and he's dealing with things that young people deal with in their everyday lives. So themes like rebellion, angst, feeling isolated. He's very much like a teenage hero who kind of walks that divide between figuring out who you are and being yourself versus fitting in and being an adult and entering the adult world. And I think that's why it's such a celebrated book. Those kinds of things are eternal and people still relate to them generations later.
And how did he get Holden's voice to be so relatable?
One of the things that we now know is that J.D. Salinger notoriously puts his own personal details in his characters. Later in his life, he was a very private man. He stopped giving interviews in 1980 and stopped publishing even earlier in 1965. But a much younger and less guarded J.D. Salinger would readily tell friends, "Oh, Holden Caulfield is a young version of myself," or "another character is like my alter ego, my collaborator." So the way that he gets this really genuine kind of voice that people react to and really relate with very, very, very quickly is kind of from his own experiences. And this is a novel that he spent 10 years writing.
Yeah, so how is Holden a flawed narrator throughout Catcher in the Rye?
That's something that people talk about quite a lot when they look at Holden Caulfield in the novel, and especially in the classroom. As a typical teenager, he exaggerates and he lies and kind of calls himself out a few times on his lies. And so some readers see that as a very endearing quality because it's a very human quality. Others kind of react more adversely and have trouble kind of taking the novel at face value.
And he has a nervous breakdown, Holden, the narrator or the protagonist of the book.
He does.
Yeah. Why do you think Salinger included that?
A lot of Salinger's characters across all of his fiction are grieving, and they're grieving for, in particular, their brothers who have died and they've passed away. In The Catcher in the Rye, we know 4 years earlier to the start of the events of the novel, Holden lost his younger brother to leukemia, and 4 years later he's still dealing with that. So he talks about his brother as though he's still alive. He calls out to him when he's distressed, and he really idealizes his brother and hasn't properly dealt with the loss. So in the context of The Catcher in the Rye, Holden's breakdown is related to that, I think. And across all of Selinger's fiction, his characters who are dealing with grief and suffering from these breakdowns, we can kind of look at that as being related to his own personal experiences, particularly during World War II.
Yeah, well, the idea of phonies is really important to Holden. And you've talked about where that line between Holden and Salinger, it becomes quite blurred. Do you think, with going back to that idea of phonies and the way that Holden uses it so willingly in Catcher in the Rye, is that why Salinger is a reclusive too? Do you think that idea of the phony resonated for Salinger?
I think J.D. Salinger withdrew from public life for a number of reasons, mainly because, as we've spoken about, he put so much of his personality into his writers that when he was published and those characters entered the public sphere and critics started kind of attacking them, it's easy to imagine how he would have been wounded and his reaction would be to withdraw from those kinds of engagements with the literary world. I guess also it's hard to say. If people remember one thing about Holden, they remember the fact that he does use that word phony. At the slightest hint of insincerity, he'll dismiss his peers or certainly adults as being phony. And again, that's probably speaking to teenagers in a very relatable way.
And did Salinger dislike the success of the novel Catcher in the Rye?
He certainly did. It's kind of funny looking at his early career as a writer, where he really strove to be a commercially successful writer. He wanted to be published. He would send in short stories to magazines and take it very personally when they were rejected. And he really did want to be a New Yorker writer, a famous writer that would have short stories published exclusively in magazines. By the time that success arrived, it took its toll on him, and gradually he did withdraw from publishing. And you can see his work really take on a less of a, outwardly, this is what's going on, this is me, this is who I am, and then withdrawing into more introspective themes to do with religion and spirituality. There's a really great quote that's used quite frequently from one of his last interviews. There is a marvelous peace in not publishing. It's peaceful. Publishing is a terrible invasion of my privacy. I like to write. I love to write. But I write just for myself and for my own pleasure. And so from that, I think we can kind of imagine him as being this very dramatic artist kind of figure who writes for the sake of art itself rather than for a commercial gain.
Yeah, and that for me, just hearing that's the first time I heard it, and it sounded almost like Holden. Was Salinger, did he become an adult Holden?
I think he grew to dislike Holden, to be honest, simply for the fact that people relate so readily to Holden that they mistake him for Holden. Obviously, we know from his comments to friends and family that this was the case. Initially, he did put himself so much into this book, but when it got to the point that people were so readily identifying with Holden that they would show up at his house and want to speak to him or would hound him for a photograph or things like that, that's the point that he really would shy away from that comparison.
And there's never been a movie despite the many attempts. Why not?
Earlier, J.D. Salinger sold a short story of his to Samuel Goldwyn to have a film produced. I think it was in the 1950s. And he really, really resented what Hollywood did with his short story. It completely departed from the source material. It was very dramatized and wishy-washy. And so his experience with that made him very vehemently vow never to have a film version of The Catcher in the Rye. There's a recent documentary, I think 2013, that spoke about how actors and big names from Hollywood would repeatedly, up until the day he died, pursue him asking if they could make a movie version, drafting a script, sending it to him, but he's refused. And he did establish the J.D. Salinger, I think, Literary Trust a few years ago, and one of the key principles of that trust is that there will never be a film version of The Catcher in the Rye.
And so was his an unhappy life, the life that Salinger led?
I don't know whether we can really know. He would very rarely speak about his personal life. He just preferred to be left alone. He lived in Cornish, New Hampshire, in a very, very small cabin far away from any kinds of big cities like New York, where he grew up. Certainly his experiences during World War II, we now know, were absolutely dismal, and we can see a lot of that through his fiction when his characters are dealing with these things like loss and death and grieving and things like that. So from his fiction, we can certainly infer that he's had very, very traumatic experiences, and certainly from knowing his movements during World War II, if not his own personal experiences, that he has been involved as a young person in some pretty traumatic events.
And has studying the book for all these years and its author made you love it more or less?
That's a really good question. I think I have a hunch with The Catcher in the Rye in particular, that if you read it during your teenage years, it's much more likely to speak to you than it is in your 20s. So when I read The Catcher in the Rye as a young person, I instantly adored it. It was the first book that I would carry around with me. And then re-examining it from a critical frame when I was studying at university was interesting, because the reaction that I had to Holden wasn't so much as a peer, more as a kind of an older person looking on someone that, I guess, you know, should stop complaining and maybe get a job. And so it was kind of funny in that respect, looking at someone that I'd been able to relate to as a character from a different framework.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, that was really fascinating. Thank you for joining us, Emma Michelle, and we're going
into
the 65th year of Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. Thank you very much for that.
No problem, Nikia. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Okay, and that was Emma Michelle, and we were discussing Catcher in the Rye.